In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We are looking at Habakkuk 3 today. Up to now, the whole book has been about justice in a messy world. And up to now, Habakkuk wants the living God to do something to sort out the world, all that injustice that's going on. The Lord Jesus responded to him and says, "Don't worry, I'm bringing in the Babylonians to sort this out." To which Habakkuk seems to say, "You can't do that. You can't use the Babylonians. You're good, God, but they're evil." And patiently Jesus then said, I know. I'll use them to judge you, then I'll judge them too. Everybody will be shaken and everyone will be judged. It takes more than a click of the fingers to sort out all the problems in this world. As Habakkuk may have wanted a quick fix, he wanted the Lord to come and sort out those problems with the people over there, that issue over here, so that the world can be a nice and comfortable place for him to live in once again. But that's not how the living God works. Because Habakkuk realized that Jesus, the Lord God, was revealing all along his great plan of rescue, salvation to everyone. Everyone who is deserving of all the sober judgments we heard about in chapter 2 last week. And it's fair to say, Habakkuk, he understood all those issues. He understood what plagues this world. Certainly, he looked to the Lord to solve all these colossal-sized problems. So it was not wrong to call on Jesus, as every good Christian would. But the way he saw Jesus may have had to be adjusted. He had to come to terms with the real Jesus, with who he knew, who he knew took care of the church and his people. As at this moment, more suffering would come onto the church through the Babylonians, but along with it, the rescue plan. So chapter 3 is Habakkuk really changing his attitude towards the Lord Jesus. It will click for him after getting the insight to how the living God handles these big matters of human evil, destruction, suffering, injustice, as it has been all along for him. And at the end of chapter 2, this is a key moment, and this is important. Because we could think, what does heaven think of everything Habakkuk said? What does heaven think about everything that is going on? Well, now at the end of chapter 2, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. And just to sidestep, we're just going to come back to that in a moment, because we're going to just fast forward to the very end of chapter 3, because coming from his temple in heaven with splendor, the Lord God will make his address. And we see it's from the director of music. It makes us wonder who that is. It's credited to him. And Jesus is the great conductor and composer of music. Not just songs, but music itself. He leads the musical worship of the church as its chief musician. Could it be that he is the one giving Habakkuk these words to say? Leading him, showing him how to think and speak about himself, how to speak about Jesus. We see this a lot in the Psalms. Especially in David's songs, are either Jesus sharing his innermost thoughts or teaching with the church on how to speak and think about him, even sometimes saying the same words that Jesus would, when he had suffered, would say, literally quote himself. And this is one of those moments. It's a be quiet, here is the Lord moment. This is now Jesus. It's his turn to speak. And as we begin in verse 2, Habakkuk could say, "Look, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy." Habakkuk here is called to remember those kingdom-shaking attention-grabbing deeds that the Lord performed. And he knows it was always the living God, the Jesus orchestrating these deeds, these events. And he's calling on them to be repeated in his day. But with the wrath, with the anger, remember mercy. Because Jesus is totally about both of those. And that's the big view to take on. The Lord Jesus rescues and saves through judgment. Habakkuk begins to take us. Here we begin to be taken how we could even think this way, how we could even come to terms with all this. Let's look at verse 3. He was there. Jesus, the God who was there, who came from Teman, also known as Edom, sometimes in your Bible, where Esau was from. He was there at Mount Paran before the 12 tribes of Israel, ready to send them out. His glory covered the heavens and his praise filled the earth. And these moments show that the Lord God was there, going through all the peoples, all the nations, completely trustworthy to redeem his people, to convert the nations, but also destroy the wicked. And Habakkuk could come to terms that he can trust Jesus with this in his hands. And when he comes to do this, it's always in majesty and always with splendor. And the telltale signs this happens is that Jesus, the King of creation, is doing something like this. Is that in verse 5, plagues and pestilence follow or precede him. It always comes about in this way. And this type of destruction and shaking it brings on opposes all the false thinking, all these temporal systems, all the things that bring people under false security and false ideas of safety. It's under his total authority that he wields out, and it prepares the way for him. It prepares the way for Jesus to come in to save his people and provide real safety, real security in times of real trouble. And in Habakkuk's predicament, this meant the raising of the Babylonians. To him, that was Jesus stepping in and executing judgment to do this. The earth gets shaken and the nations tremble. That's how he does it. And you see that Cushan and Midian, also other nations, they get mentioned here. Because they're included in this. They would get woken up too. Sometimes in those nations where people have opposed God, try to destroy the church. It's like in Psalm 2 we see where nations that oppose the living God and oppose church, the kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord. And sometimes they take that out on the church. And these verses show how the living God deals with all this. He shakes them. And Jesus comes out like a great warrior, ready to come out to war against those who oppose him. He will shoot them down like enemies with his bow. And he can also, in verses 9 and 10 of Habakkuk, it tells us that he wields his power over creation as well. And this automatically brings us to memories of Exodus, particularly chapter 15. If you remember in Exodus, in Egypt, which was a nation under Pharaoh that didn't trust Jesus. They opposed him and they opposed the church and put them into slavery and hurt them. They would have to suffer at that moment. And Habakkuk seems to look at that event and refers to those events, especially when he talks about the water, about the power of the Lord being wielded along the on the water in dividing the Red Sea. And remind us of when he's shown his great power in that story. What happened? Egypt ended up being judged, destroyed. But also, the Israelites were saved and delivered, taken across the Red Sea. So one group faced death, but the other, who trusted Jesus, was led to safety. And both judgment and salvation there was totally in the hands of the divine emperor Jesus. Habakkuk could trust in Jesus because he shows us that the divine emperor was behind all those events, behind it all. He alone has the authority to judge the whole earth, the nations, the people, take command over death, judgment, and all the chaos. That episode showed us how, in a sense, the living God both judge and saves. That's how he does it. And that's how he was reminded of those deeds. No wonder Habakkuk can ask if the Lord is angry. It may seem that way when he fiercely wields his awesome power. But within that, there's also mercy. That's part of who the living God is. Because we already said, one group died, but one group was saved. In verse 8 of chapter 3, the Lord comes as a warrior too, on his chariots and horses. He's often mentioned. Chariots and horses are often mentioned as an image to deliver people to safety, into the promised land. Or even a picture of salvation, just like Elijah experienced. On one hand, the great warrior of heaven, Jesus, will judge evil, but like a fierce warrior, will save those and stay close to those who call out for him for rescue and for help. His salvation comes with him. So with judgment, there is also always mercy. Jesus saves in this, in these situations. And he'll pretty much do this everywhere. Get the best out of all peoples, to get the best out of all nations. He will do this everywhere. Wake everyone up, shake everything up that can be shaken, even at the same time. So look at verse 12. In wrath you strode through the earth, and in anger you threshed the nations. And in verse 13 we see why. You came out, but you also came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. And Habakkuk, throughout this, can begin to see, as he has been all along, why he can trust living God, even when trouble surrounds him, even when he has to go through it himself. In this final section, he seems to come to terms with it all, and is ready to endure it, take it on, for whatever the Lord decides to do and authorize from his throne room in heaven. So now Jesus will speak too, and in fact, it's an awesome moment where they seem to be speaking together in unison, and that will be significant for Habakkuk and the church. So we just mentioned how, for the details of the Exodus story, how this wonderful deed Jesus performed to judge and save, that he was the one behind it all. He was the one orchestrating all those events. And all of it is pointing to himself, is drawing attention to the future, the final day of trouble, of wrath. And it's pointing forward to the day that he will have to face it too. Where the eternal Son of God, Jesus, who orchestrated all those events in the Exodus, he will too have to pass through those deepest waters of judgment, those depths of death itself. After the plagues, the famine, the wars, whatever it was, followed and preceded him, there was one more thing to pass for the people. It was the final judgment on the whole nation. It was the Passover. And we heard about it last week, how all of it was pointed towards him, the death of the firstborn, the sacrifice of the lamb, the blood of the lamb. It was all about Jesus coming under, who will come under, the divine judgment of God at the cross. We know that during the Passover, that terrifying event, the blood of the sacrificed lamb painted on the house would keep that family safe. The angel of the Lord would pass over and state that judgment had taken place at that house already. And the blood of that sacrificed lamb would guarantee the safety of the family that night, but also any other foreigner from any nation who hid under that blood too, as it tells us in Exodus 12. And we learn later in Leviticus that Day of Atonement, that sacrifice could also guarantee the safety of the whole nation. And when John the Baptist saw Jesus walking towards him, one of the greatest prophets, he announced that Jesus, he, in John 1, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 29, he proclaimed that he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That Jesus is for everybody. To all the nations that had ignored him, turned away, and has done evil, he will take that divine anger, suffer, and face the God-forsaken death at the cross, laying down his life voluntarily for those who will cling to him and hide in him. Jesus, and Habakkuk can come to terms with it, because he said, because Jesus here says he will have to suffer that judgment of the cross at the hands of his enemies. In verse 14 it says, with his own spear you pierced his head. And that's looking forward to, if you remember in John chapter 19 verse 34, if you know the story, that spear belongs to the Roman centurion Longinus, who pierced Jesus' side at the cross. All the judgments against the world would fall on the very judge himself. In verses 16 and 17, we see that he trembles at this. We see, and we know Jesus in his agony during the Garden of Gethsemane, we saw those feelings reach a fever pitch. But we can see Habakkuk also, he can say he trembles at this. His heart will pound too at that fall. So though Jesus, the judgments will fall on Jesus. Habakkuk is speaking to at the moment at the fort of Babylon, bringing suffering and waiting for calamity to arrive. Habakkuk finally sees that through judgment and suffering, there is salvation, and people could be brought into the church from it, into real safety. And people can be calling out to Jesus for help and rescue. Because as Jesus picked up his cross to bear the sins of the world and onto the darkness of the cross, where Jesus never ran from it, Habakkuk knows at this moment where he trembles and his heart grows faint and he feels stunned by it all, because he will need to pick up his cross too. And we will too when we follow Jesus. Even if Babylon's soldiers will break down his door, he could also be totally okay with it all and embrace it as seeing the Lord Jesus coming through to set things right and bring real salvation and strength. Habakkuk models the right view of Jesus within these chaotic times. On one level, the shaking done is terrible and frightening, where all the comfort and security is being rocked or threatened. You can always witness those wonderful things as more people turn to Jesus, find safety in the church. More people commit their lives to the Lord and watch Jesus perform those wonderful deeds of old throughout the whole earth. Can rejoice that his plan involves rescue. Through judgment there is salvation, and extends to the whole earth, to every nation. He can lay down his life to serve the Lord in church, in seeing all this through, and walk alongside in close relationship, in intimacy with the Lord, to get involved with what he is doing throughout this world. With trouble knocking on the door, there is hope. He can begin to see it because of who Jesus is, who he's shown himself to be, and who he is going forward towards the final day of justice. And next week, as we begin Advent, we celebrate the coming of Jesus as Judge and Savior of the world. And we can rejoice too in the Lord for all that he has done and also for all he wants to do. And we don't have to be silent or ignorant that the Lord is coming. And this may be very scary and terrifying if you tune in today and you've never heard this before. Because he will come with all authority and heaven to judge this world. He will come to divide the sheep from the goats. And there is real safety and security for everyone that trusts in Jesus, that clings onto him and calls out to him for rescue. Find safety in his church. But for Habakkuk and everyone in the church and everyone else living in troubled times, we can rejoice too, because everything that's happening, it's all doing something. It's all going to go towards something great, because he is doing something. Jesus will shake everything until the only kingdom that is left is his. So we don't have to run away or wish it away. But in this season, even from today, like Jesus, don't run from it. Take it on. But like Habakkuk, be part of it too. And rejoice in the hope we have in Jesus. Cling on to him in verse, and say what he says. In verse 18, the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on new heights. And also in Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Enjoying close fellowship with the divine shepherd, even in this messy world of injustice. We can all be closer to him as we carry out his plans for the world to go and seek his face, no matter what surrounds us or threatens us. And we can all be like Habakkuk, to embrace the fact that even though we may suffer or lose, yet the greatest work of the living God will triumph. And we can all be dependent on Jesus to keep us faithful and enduring to the very end, clinging onto his cross and hiding in the rock that is Jesus Christ himself, to keep us safe on that final day of trouble. Therefore, to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, be ascribed all the praise, all the glory, all the honour, and all the majesty, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.